And welcome back to Community Conversations. On today's show, how do we attract and retain more young people in New Hampshire? I'm joined today by Will Stewart. He's the executive director of Stay Work Play to discuss this general issue and also to get more insight from their recent quality of life survey. So I'd like to thank you, Will, for joining us today on the program, and I think it's gonna be a great discussion.
Thank you for having me.
So to get started, Will, I'm just curious, give us just a little insight into your background and how kind of you ended up with Stay Work Play and a little bit of your background.
Sure. Well, I've been with Stay Work Play for about 5.5 years as the executive director. Previously, I was in the Chamber of Commerce world, most recently as the president of the Greater Derry Londonderry Chamber. Stint before that at the Manchester Chamber. Had previous roles as a community organizer and a newspaper reporter as well.
Wow, quite the background and 5.5 years at Stay Work Play. So I think I maybe in the intro glossed over it a little bit, but tell us about the mission of Stay Work Play and just also a little bit about some of the different activities and services that your nonprofit provides.
Sure. So Stay Work Play is a statewide nonprofit whose mission is to attract and retain more young people in New Hampshire. And that's important for a number of reasons. By average age, we're the second oldest state in the country. We have one of the lowest unemployment rates. That was true before COVID. It's certainly true now. And we're the number one exporter of high school graduates who are seeking a four-year degree. Nearly 2 out of 3 leave the state to pursue that higher education. Some come back, but a lot don't. So long story short, we need more people here in New Hampshire, more young people in particular. That's why we were formed about 12 years ago. And we go about that, you know, a number of ways. Kind of our bread and butter is marketing and branding, you know, New Hampshire as a place of opportunity for young people, a place of opportunity to have a career, to raise a family, to have fun.
Right.
We do certainly what we're going to talk about today, data collection and finding out, you know, why young people stay and why they might leave. We do nonpartisan issues-based advocacy based on what we learn and the data we collect on, you know, what those reasons are and kind of the public policy implications. So we're here in Concord, oftentimes at the over at the Capitol, talking to legislators about those types of issues and what can better be done from a public policy perspective to attract and retain young people here.
I feel like that last part is interesting because we also have a very old legislature. No offense, I mean, a lot of hardworking people in our state government, but it is notoriously an older demographic. So a lot of what you're doing is providing a perspective and advocating for issues that matter to younger folks and for retaining younger people in the state, right?
Correct. You know, and you're right. The legislature here in New Hampshire perennially is the oldest average legislature in the country. Mm-hmm. And your breadth of experience there, I will say that I believe this biennium, you know, we might have the highest number of under 40 legislators.
Oh, good.
That we've seen in some decades. So we're certainly pleased about that at Stay Work Play. But, you know, no matter who's there, we always need to be, you know, educating, you know, folks as to, you know, the lived experiences and the challenges being faced by young people in New Hampshire these days.
Now, you mentioned, of course, data, which is great because I think anecdotally we all agree about, you know, we know someone who, you know, after high school, they went to college out of state and then they got a job out there and they didn't come back. Anecdotally, we know these things, but to actually have data, reliable data that we can sort of track is really important. And that's why I love the fact that you had this New Hampshire Quality of Life survey that is available on the Stay Work Play website, and we'll have information on the screen for folks watching. But tell us a little bit just about what this survey was, why Stay Work Play conducts this survey, and a little bit about that.
Sure. So this is the second survey that we've conducted on quality of life factors here in New Hampshire for young people. And when I say young people, for the services, for the purposes of this survey, it was those aged 20 to 40, you know, living in New Hampshire in January of this year. I mentioned it's the second survey that we conducted. We conducted the first one back in late 2017.
Okay.
And it's something, you know, to gather some baseline data, because you're right, it is important. We have those anecdotes and we can make assumptions based on those. But, you know, for an organization like Stay Work Play, and I think for a lot of us here in New Hampshire, like if we really want to move the needle, like we need to be laser focused on things that matter. And to know what things really matter, we need that data, you know, to be able to back it up, because we all have, you know, limited resources and we need to deploy those effectively and efficiently. So for Stay Work Play, that's why we did this first survey back in 2017. And the idea at that time was to redo it, you know, every 3 years or so to, you know, kind of get some benchmark, you know, data and then see how things change. Of course, 3 years after 2017 was 2020. And we knew that if we conducted a second survey then, that the data would probably be pretty skewed. So we decided to wait until January of this year, 2023, when things are relatively, you know, back to normal, and to kind of get our finger on the pulse to see, you know, what young people are thinking about New Hampshire right now.
And certainly now, just in the 6 years difference, looking at some of the data that was collected, there's certainly some changes and some things that have changed just over the course of 6 years. Did you find overall, with a lot of the data collected, that were there a lot of issues that got worse over the last 6 years or got better? I know that's a very broad question because there's quite a bit amongst the slides we have to work with here, but what stood out to you, the difference between the 6 years in between?
Well, what we found is that COVID, did have kind of an amplification effect. We saw that, those areas where New Hampshire, really kind of stood out for young people in a very strong, good way, became stronger, and our negatives, if you will, became a little bit more negative.
Right. So, like, there's a couple instances with, for instance, family and friends. It's interesting for me to see how a lot of people are influenced by, well, if they have family here. We saw this in the word bank that popped up at the end as well, that a lot of times family or boyfriend, girlfriend, relationship, like those things really make an impact or a difference in terms of someone staying or leaving. That is something that we found in the survey, right?
Correct, yeah, we asked kind of an open-ended question, and you're right, family was the most, the biggest response that we got, any single word, and far and away, nothing else even came close to family. And, family, it's what keeps people rooted in their community.
Now, there were some categories where, in one of the questions about, is New Hampshire worse or about the same as other places? And I just want to list off some of the categories where we had respondents saying public transportation, childcare, diversity, affordable housing, colleges, healthcare, schools. I mean, that's critical infrastructure that we're hearing that people ages 20 to 40 are saying that this is not up to par. And it's in order that I read 90% said public transportation, which, especially in rural New Hampshire, that doesn't surprise me that is something we're lagging behind in. Do any of those other categories stand out to you? And do you kind of connect the dots with some of the advocacy issues that Stay Workplace stands behind?
We certainly do. I'd say, really the only one that kind of surprised me in that list a little bit, and it was on the lesser end, I believe, low 50s, said schools, K-12 schools were worse or about the same here as elsewhere. Yep. And, New Hampshire typically has, very strong reputation when it comes to public schools.
Right.
And I think that's generally true. One of the things to keep in mind on this, and folks can take a look themselves, you mentioned the full survey results with all the cross tabs, is available at stayworkplay.org/survey. But one of the things you'll note in that is that, there are differences when it comes to, the age of the respondents. I mentioned that, we're talking aggregate, numbers across that whole, that 20 to 40 spectrum. But of course, people's, lifestyles, their preferences, kind of their frame of mind is different, when you're in your early 20s versus your late 30s. And we saw that playing out, in the in these numbers as well. And, I'll say really overall, I think it's worth noting that, there's really kind of the big high-level takeaway from the survey as a whole is that there's really kind of a peak and a valley effect when it comes to satisfaction with life in New Hampshire, that it's pretty high when people in their early 20s, probably grew up here in New Hampshire, maybe they're still in college in their first job, feeling pretty good, might be still under the wing of their family. They score New Hampshire really highly. But that satisfaction does begin to decline when they get into their mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s. Might be in that second job, that third job. Want to maybe, partner up and settle down, start thinking about starting a family, being able to buy a house, and being able to have enough money to do that. And that's where, these challenges that we've here talking about, housing, childcare, transportation, becomes a little bit more challenging and a little bit more expensive to do that here in New Hampshire. But then by the time folks get in their mid to late 30s, they're by then usually a little bit more rooted, might have that house, might have that family, and look around and say, yeah, New Hampshire's pretty great. So definitely peak, valley, peak.
And finding ways for New Hampshire to maybe make that gap shorter, that people who are having a tough time getting that house to settle down in or they're on the wait list for childcare. We've heard about that, those wait lists being significantly long. So I would think shortening the gap up in that satisfaction gap would be really important. And that's, those are issues that span many different sectors. We can bring people in to talk about housing. We can bring people in to talk about affordable childcare and all those issues. Do you see that State Work Play, I see your organization in a sense from what you're telling me, that you're really connecting the dots and that there's a lot of different organizations that play a role in the solutions, that play a role in kind of public-private partnerships potentially in terms of how do we improve these services, right?
Right. I mean, there's no, you know, silver bullet to any of these issues. They're all,
right,
you know, incredibly complicated and complex. And if they were easy to solve, whether it's housing or childcare or transportation or anything, I mean, they would have been solved already, right? So we recognize that it is going to take, you know, a lot of different players. Excuse me, public sector, private sector,
yep,
you know, the university system, like everybody kind of has a role to play in this, and private individual citizens as well, being able to speak up and say, these things are important. We want our kids, we want our grandkids to be able to stay close to where we are. And, you know, one of the things we, you know, look to add some, you know, some color and a little bit of meat to the bone on these, these data too. And we like to go around and talk, kind of have focus groups, you know, to kind of get those, you know, anecdotal data. Because we know what people responded and how they feel. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, we need to find out more about why, you know, why they're feeling this way. You know, what are the particular circumstances that made them rate certain things certain ways? And, you know, we've done that after the first survey. We'll be doing it again in the fall. And we kind of do it periodically, you know, too. And, you know, kind of one of the big takeaways that we hear over and over again, what it kind of comes down to is New Hampshire's a very expensive place to live, generally speaking. And that there are a lot of young people who would like to live here. They would like to stay here, but they just can't afford it.
Yep.
And like I said, New Hampshire's expensive for everyone. You know, there's a high cost of living here. You have a high quality of life that corresponds to that. but I remember speaking to a young woman in the Upper Valley, and she said, and it's a comment that still sticks with me. She said, you know, New Hampshire is a great place to raise a family. She said, but it's a very challenging place to try and start one. And I think,
okay,
you know, we kind of see that in that valley, Pekin Valley here, you know, people when they're wanting to start a family. And, you know, because look, housing costs, everybody, you know, has housing costs, whether a mortgage or rent, you know, both of those prices are going up. Childcare, if you can find it, is pretty expensive. Public transportation, as we just mentioned, is not that great here in New Hampshire, so it pretty much means you have to have your own personal automobile. And of course, young people, these are costs that are expensive for everybody. You know, young people, though, we have to keep in mind, they're young. They're at the early stages of their careers, usually, probably not making as much money as their more experienced peers. This is New Hampshire. We also have the highest average student debt loads here in the country. So
right,
that's usually a few $100, you know, these young people are paying every month. Got to have a car payment, you know, because public transportation's not great.
Yep.
If you have kids, you know, you're probably paying a lot. I have a board member at Stay Work Play who lives on the seacoast, has two kids under the age of five, says he pays more in childcare every month than he does for his mortgage.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so that, you know, young people here in New Hampshire, right, they're strapped. And again, sometimes they'll look around in that mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s and be like, man, I just can't, this is great, but I can't afford to live here and certainly not have the kind of quality of life that I want for me and my family.
Right.
You know, and things might start looking a little, grass might look a little bit greener in North Carolina or Texas, you know, somewhere.
Right. And then, of course, we're talking about a lot of sort of the needs, the expenses that you need to for survival, food and energy and transportation. But there are things like social life and nightlife and things that, you know, you have to, for a lot of these things, you have to have additional income every month. Otherwise, you're not going to go out and you're not going to take part in the nightlife. You can't even afford to do it. And then not only that, but are there actually, depending what town you're in, are there places that are open past 8 p.m.? Are there good opportunities for recreation and for fun? Or are you going up to Portland? Or are you going to Boston? Or are you going to Providence? Or, you know, going to Vermont? Or so I see New Hampshire having that recreation challenge. And there was a on the survey about respondents believing New Hampshire is worse or about the same as other places to live. And so in terms of culture and social life and nightlife, you had over 80% of respondents saying that we're not up to snuff with that. So
right. And it's, again, you know, these are all areas where New Hampshire has never been that strong, you know, when
right.
it comes to, you know, when you think nightlife, you know, you're not thinking, you know, New Hampshire. usually, for better or for worse, and we saw that, certainly playing out in this survey. And the social life aspect, though, is super, super important in that, included in that is dating. And is very important, for young people. Again, if you're wanting to, find a partner and, kind of start a family, finding people to date, can be a challenge in New Hampshire.
Sure. Yeah.
And if people think they can, do that more easily elsewhere, and that's important to them, they're going to go.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think a lot of what we're talking about, too, you mentioned someone up in the Upper Valley, that there are also geographical differences depending on if you're on the seacoast or if you're over in Keene or if you're in rural versus somewhere like you live in downtown Manchester or downtown Concord or something.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective, having been in the Concord area, is always thinking about, looking at the data and going, this isn't Concord specific necessarily, but it is something here in Concord that we are trying to be mindful of, and a lot of it resonates. But have you seen, what are some things that stand out to you in terms of potentially geographical differences in New Hampshire in some of these categories?
Yeah, it's a very important point because you're right. New Hampshire, we have a lot of different pockets that, the seacoast is very different from the Monadnock region, is very different from the Upper Valley, and so forth. And so, one of the things that we found, and again, this is all available in the crosstabs where you can drill down into this, regional, subsets, that satisfaction, with the quality of life was highest, here in the Merrimack Valley, so that Concord, Manchester, Nashua, kind of corridor, where 89% of respondents, said they were pleased, with the quality of life, overall satisfaction.
Yep.
That was followed pretty closely by the seacoast, 86%, said they were satisfied with the quality of life there. On the flip side, it was lowest in the North Country and the Lakes region, where low 60s, dipped to low 60s for satisfaction there.
Wow. Yeah. So that's sort of data backing up something that anecdotally I probably wouldn't be surprised by.
Right.
Just knowing if you know people in the North Country and you know it's a great place sometimes to go up and visit. If you go up north of the Notches, it's, for skiing or for outdoor recreation. But in terms of job opportunities and in terms of career growth and, like you said, dating and
right.
and that there are issues when you have sparse population and population less density. So that doesn't surprise me too much. But there are also strengths to some of those areas as well, like I mentioned. Some of the recreation,
correct.
The outdoor recreation, some of the tourism, things like that, I would see as potentially strengths too.
Right, and let's talk about some strengths because we've been focused on the negatives, and you're right. These are certainly things that we need to focus on and that Stay Work Play focuses on and addresses, making those negatives a little bit better so we can kind of flatten that peak and valley effect there.
Right.
But we also asked people, why do you stay here? And you hit the nail on the head when you use the phrase outdoor recreation.
Yep.
That scored off the charts, for our survey respondents, and really everything having to do with the outdoors and the environment itself scored well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is strategic in Concord that's used sort of as a marketing and a promotional tool is, you're in New Hampshire, you're close to Boston, you're close to Portland, you're close to these other places, you're close to the ocean, you're close to the mountains. And we say it so much it almost sounds cliched, but that is definitely a strength. It can't be underplayed that you can get to whether you enjoy surfing or whether you enjoy going to a state park lake or whether you enjoy skiing or ice skating or whatever it is, regardless of the season, you can find something.
Location, location, location.
It sure is, yeah. Was there anything else from the survey that I glossed over? Because you said, yes, I a lot of times I'm gleaming through kind of looking, not looking for negative, but, looking on that side of it. Were there other strengths from the overall survey results that you would want to share with people that, hey, we're trending in the right direction in certain areas?
Well, I'll say one of the things that was the biggest surprise, to me, and this was, it was a surprise back in 2017. Mm-hmm. I'll share this data point and then in 2017 and then where we are now, both of which were surprising to me.
Yeah.
One, we found in 2017 something called the Loneliness Index that back then, again, 5+ years ago, 21% of respondents, said they didn't have a single friend, in close proximity to them.
Okay.
Right, which is like super sad. Right? It's sad from an individual standpoint, but also, we work with a lot of employers, and it's concerning from wanting to retain employees, because if your employees don't have friends, they're not hanging out with anybody, watching the game on Saturday or Sunday, or doing yoga with somebody, or going to the bar or whatever. They're that much more likely to go someplace where they think they can find those and make those connections.
Sure.
So that was super concerning in 2017 and the biggest shock of the survey, in my opinion. On kind of the good news front, what we found in this survey, we asked the same question, and that number went down from 21% to only 11% said
good.
They didn't have a
good.
Single friend nearby. And kind of conversely, we found a 17-point jump in the number of people who said they had 4+ friends, in close proximity to them. So
that's great.
Yeah. No, we were very pleasantly surprised because, again, you were right when you said relationships matter, and having people, it helps people make those connections, whether it's family, friends, having people connected to each other, and it makes them less likely to want to leave when they have a close-knit group of people around them.
Yeah, and I think some kudos as well to some of the young professional networks that are out there as well. Concord has a pretty strong one. It depends what town you're in, but some of those where they're very welcoming, that even if you don't know anyone, come on in and you can make friends pretty easily that way, who you have some shared, you're around the same age group and you live in the same community, so you already have something in common. Those seem like post-COVID, those types of organizations have had some success too, so.
Certainly have, and I think there's a lot more appreciation, too, for the opportunities that are afforded, by the Young Professionals Networks in particular. And you're right, the Concord Young Professionals, SIPN, is, one of the strongest ones in the state. And we, kind of work with all of them across the state in various capacities to kind of bring folks together. And, I've always been impressed by Concord's. I've been to a number of their events, and you're right, very welcoming group. And I would encourage anybody, whether it's yourself or anybody might be younger employees, neighbors, relatives of yours looking to get connected, go to a SIPN event. You're right. It's a great way to meet people and to get involved.
Yeah. But it certainly is tough for those who maybe they're transplants here from another state and they don't know a ton of people. We don't want people to be socially isolated with no friends, because that's a super important element to wherever you live, to have friends.
It is. No, absolutely. And we recognize, too, like you talk about even just the demographics of the people who took this survey. And again, this is all in the crosstabs, but, it was about half and half of people who were born here in New Hampshire and those who were born elsewhere. I think 53%, were born here, 47 outside of the state. So that's a significant proportion of people who are here, didn't grow up here, don't necessarily have those network of friends and family that they grew up with here over the years. And it's certainly something at Stay Work Play that we work to get more people connected to each other and ultimately to the state and put down those roots. And one of the things we're doing in conjunction with the state's Young Professionals Networks is what we call our Welcome Home series that targets transplants in particular.
Yeah.
And we were in the Upper Valley a couple of weeks ago in Lebanon. We had an event in Manchester back in January. Again, really kind of aimed at transplants, get them to meet each other, to meet the locals as well. And to start to be able to have more opportunities to make those connections, because it can be awkward and it can be hard.
It can be really hard to put yourself out there. It's usually sort of like it's stepping into cold water. It's like that first step is really tough, but it's worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's absolutely necessary for us as a state to get more people connected to other people. Yes, but to community organizations, to workplaces, to their communities, and ultimately to the state.
Awesome. Well, this has been great about just reading through the survey. Like you mentioned, if people want to dig more into the details of the survey, either for this kind of broad perspective or you say crosstab, the really in-depth, you can look at more of the analytics of the survey. That's at stayworkplay.org/survey.
That is correct.
That's it. Now, a couple other things that I wanted to, while we have you here for these couple minutes here, that you have, Stay Work Play has the Rising Star Awards. Is that the correct name for it, the Rising Star Awards? Tell us a little bit about that, and at this point here in late April, where that process is.
Sure. So our Rising Stars Awards, that's our signature annual event at Stay Work Play, where we aim to really shine a spotlight and celebrate the incredible young people here in New Hampshire and those that that employ them as well. And so we've been doing it, I believe this will be our 14th year,
we've been
doing this, and it's a great event, to really be able to learn about and see some of the incredible talent that we have here in the state in a number of categories, kind of culminating with our Young Person of the Year, but also we have a High School Student of the Year, College Student of the Year award that we give, Young Artist of the Year, Young Entrepreneur, Civic Leader of the Year. So I believe there are seven categories in all, and it's really like I love the event. It's, you know, probably my favorite one that we do every year, and I always come away with it. And I think a lot of people who attend the event, you know, do as well. Just, you're really jazzed and optimistic about the future of New Hampshire. It's like you look around and you're like, all right, you know, the kids are okay. You know, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing when I hear, you know, about awards and recognition of accomplished young people in our state, that it's like you can walk away from that being like, because sometimes we just, you know, sometimes it's like, sometimes we can be downtrodden about just things both on a macro and a micro level, just kind of be downtrodden. But it's always incredible to see people doing good work and to go, it's like, this is why we do it. That's the sense when we do like Concord TV Awards, or, you know, it's, you're kind of like, okay, this is why we do it. This is, it's inspiring for sure.
It is. And we need that. You're right. Like, the negative stuff is always out there, and that's always going to grab headlines and clicks, and people share that stuff, you know, very easily. And it's easy, you're right, to kind of get depressed and downtrodden, you know, when you see all this stuff. But to see, you know, in our case, all these incredible young people out across the state. And I'll tell you, you know, nominations, you know, are ongoing, you know, now through, I believe, the 26th of May, the Friday before Memorial Day. So nominate, you know, these incredible young people, you know. And I'll tell you that every year, you know, we get a lot of, you know, great nominations, and we have, you know, panels of judges that help us, you know, determine the winners. And it's hard. And you know, I love that too, because like it's challenging in a way, because, you know, to pick a winner in each category. But again, it leaves me feeling optimistic. It's like, it's so hard to pick a winner because there are so many incredible young people out there doing awesome things. And again, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, that is a great feeling. And that just about wraps up our program here on Community Conversations. I would like to thank Will Stewart from Stay Work Play. Thanks for taking the time. This has been a really great discussion. And Concord TV, we're committed to, we serve all generations, all populations of the Concord area. But certainly with young people, we want to continue to help promote the work that Stay Work Play is doing, and to really, we see that as something that Concord can always get better on, and a part of our kind of strategic moving forward in Concord and in the whole state. So whatever we can do to help and to help raise awareness, you can count on us for that commitment. So thanks again, Will, for joining us. And thanks to everyone for joining us on this episode of Community Conversations here on Concord TV. I'm Josh Hardy, Executive Director of Concord TV, and we'll see you on the next episode.